So as I said last week, we were going to save that last verse of Galatians chapter 5 for this week, because I think that it's a good transition. If we remember in Galatians chapter 5, it finishes up. He's talking about walking in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we need to apply to our lives. Okay? And then he follows that up with, let us not become conceited. Why would he say that?
Because we do become conceited.
Have we ever thought, oh, you know, those young people, they just don't. Or have we ever heard a lesson and thought, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that lesson? You know, have we ever thought more of ourselves than we should think of ourselves? When we start doing things correctly in life, sometimes we forget that we were slow to learn. Not everybody picks it up at the same pace. Not everybody has the same backgrounds. So he's reminding these individuals, okay, he's been correcting them. Don't worry about being like the Jews, getting the praise of the Jews, but also don't go back to being the type of Gentile that you used to be, but to walk in the Spirit. And as you start to walk in the Spirit, he has just spent four chapters talking about don't be like these people, right? So what's human tendency? Look down our nose at those people. Right? But what does he say? So we're going to drop down and he's going to say, but brethren, if a man is overtaken, so we're in chapter 6, verse 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So once you have it, once you've figured it out, once you're doing it correctly, what do you need to do? Does anybody see that verse as a burden? Have you ever thought, oh man, I am just sick and tired of babysitting these people? Whatever, you know? It's just so much work. They're hard to teach. Have you ever thought that way? I see this verse as a blessing, if you will. So as I come here, whether I'm a Bible class teacher, whatever I am, the preacher, an elder, there may be a time that I stumble, that I struggle, that I make mistakes. And I'm in a room full of people that have been commanded through the scriptures to build me up. It's like a safety net. I saw a video of a man on the third floor of an apartment complex that was engulfed in flames. And he needed to get out. And he was climbing out his window, thinking he could hang from his window to the next window ledge and get his feet down there. And he couldn't. Now he's stuck. And so the neighbors rallied, grabbed a trampoline with one of those nets around it, ran it over to the building, stuck it under the man, and then that man had to trust that those individuals were going to hang on to that trampoline while he fell. But how much more comforting is it to be hanging from the ledge of a burning building knowing that your neighbors will be there with a net to catch you? That's what we have here. We have these brothers and sisters that are having our best interests at hand and looking to restore us. Fast forward to next week's class. Sometimes conflicts arise because I'm an heir and you come to me to correct that error and I get my knickers in a twist. How dare you accuse me? I'm the Bible class teacher. Right? We need to understand that when our brothers and sisters come to us, they're doing so. One, it's uncomfortable. Two, they're doing it because they love us, not because they're wanting to beat us down. And three, they're commanded to do so.
Dean?
Yes.
It makes me think of when it talks to the person who steals let him steal no more, but it's not just that he's not steal no more anymore. He's supposed to work so that he can give to those people who are in need. And it seems to me that when they go, verse 26, let us not be boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. He's reminding them to go back to verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And it just seems to me that he's just sort of, this is where your problem, this is where you were the thief. And he's just sort of flipping it back and saying, if you won't do that, if you put these things in your life.
Yeah. So really, when I thought about this whole chapter, he's talking to these individuals and he's basically saying, don't, right? We're taking away. Most of us in here have raised children, or we've watched somebody raise children. And there's different ways of disciplining. But a child wants something that they're not supposed to have. And we can spend all day saying, no, no, no. Or we can give them a task. We can give them something else to do. We can redirect the focus. So the apostle here is redirecting the focus. Quit trying to do these physical things to please these individuals. Look out for one another. Add to your life joy, peace, long-suffering, all of these things. Be like the thief, like Carol said. So you used to be a taker, right? And we can just equate that to our brothers and sisters. We've all worshiped with somebody that was just so needy, right? Just always needing. How do they get past that? They have to learn to give. So psychologists will tell you that sometimes the best way to get over a trauma is to help somebody else to get over a trauma. Sometimes the best way to fix what you're doing wrong in your marriage is to help a young couple through the growing pains of marriage. And as you're telling them all the right things to do, your little brain's going, yeah, I'm not doing that one very well anymore. Right? So we're not just focusing on what we can't do. He's going to come around through this chapter and he's going to tell us what we should be doing. Let's turn over real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, he's reminding us there. Well, we'll read verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he tells us how. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. We need to bear with one another in love. We need to understand that not everybody's on the same level that I might be today. And to your guys' credit, you're above. Okay? We all have our struggles. We all have our things. But we need to bear with one another. If we can learn to do that, okay, back in chapter 5, verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, and then if we come over here and we love our neighbor so much that not out of conceit, but out of love, I try to help that one who is struggling, what would the world be like? Not always the best music to recommend, but Nickelback has a song, and I thought about writing down the lyrics, but basically in the song, it's talking about if everyone loved, if nobody lied, right? And then it goes on to say, nobody died. You think about all the things that are wrong with this world can be summed up, right? With us loving one another. Okay, we have drugs, 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 drugs. Would I make drugs and sell drugs for money if I loved you? No? If I cared about you and wanted to help you when you were overtaken, I would intercede immediately when I found out. Right? But that's hard, isn't it? Super hard. Drugs are a scary thing. But we're to bear with one another. Although we're told, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Okay, I think that part there has more to do with the previous verse. Be tempted to what? Be tempted to be conceited that I'm doing better in life than you're doing. But there's also that concern. I know a man. He calls himself a barstool preacher. He goes and hangs out in the taverns and drinks beer and preaches the gospel. Not sure how I feel about that. You know, but I really don't, I think it has more to do with considering your station. As I'm trying to help Bob, I need to be careful not to think that I'm better than Bob just because Bob needs help. Number two, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Ugh, right? That sounds awful. But is it? First of all, let's think about the relationship that develops when we do that, right? Have you ever thought about the fact that someone has to trust you enough to share that burden? Like, I think we need to focus on that on a regular basis, that it takes trust to walk down to the front of the building and ask a congregation for prayers. It takes trust because we live in a world where with social media, it's just criticism, criticism, criticism. You ask a simple question on Facebook and you get a bunch of nasty remarks or political nonsense. But someone has to trust us. Like, I equate that to a child's love. They have no doubt in their mind that you have their best interest at hand. Now, Emily wasn't as trusting as Kirsten. She wouldn't jump off a roof and scream, "Catch me, Daddy." She put a little bit more thought into life. Which I appreciate because my shoulders were getting bad. But that trust, right? That trust, when I would tell Emily as a baby, she'd go, "Is it yucky?" I'd say, "Yeah, it's yucky, but it's going to help you." "Okay, Daddy." And so she would take it. My mother would get so mad at me, "Don't tell her it's yucky." And I'm like, "But it's yucky." She's going to figure out yucky after she takes it, right?
Yeah.
But that trust, the fact that this little person would trust me enough to take something yucky because it's going to help her feel better. Right? That feeling, that's the feeling we should have when someone comes and wants to talk to us and to share a burden with us. Like, when you think of a child, it's just like you're just cradling this precious thing as you walk across the room, trying not to drop it, trying not to break it, right? Bear one another's burdens. I like verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't think more of ourselves than we should. Admit that we know that we could be a better Bible class teacher. I could be a better friend. I could be a better husband. Could definitely be a better father sometimes, right? But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So honestly look at, what does James equate that to? Looking in a mirror. Okay, looking in a mirror. Seeing what's looking back. Being happy or not happy with what's looking back. I've got a lot of gray hair and some wrinkles. Really all I see in the mirror from here up. But examine ourselves. Now that's, again, we're going to go all the way back to where we're not being conceited or thinking too much of ourselves. But if we truly examine ourselves and measure ourselves against the scriptures, when we look at ourselves, is it okay to feel good? Yeah. Verse 6. Somebody read verse 6 for me out of Galatians. Tell me what that means. Oh, I scared you. Now you won't read it. Okay, let's start. Let's do it in stages. Read verse 6. I won't make you answer the question. Somebody read verse 6.
Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches.
Okay, what does that mean? Go ahead, Kirsten.
Well, it's you. You're teaching us. So we should show you.
You should be nice when you fill out the form.
No, but we should help support you. If you're the one that's teaching us, therefore we need to help you in any way that we can.
Okay, I would agree with that. That's because I'm the teacher. Anybody else?
It says share in all good things with him who teaches.
Okay. What does that mean? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Is that Lee?
Yeah.
Somebody's been studying. Go ahead and read that, Lee.
I can't do it. I'm not reading too well today.
Okay. Somebody else go ahead and read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11.
I'll read it for you.
Okay.
Thank you. If we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much that we should reap material things from you?
Okay, what's he talking about? What does Dean do for a living?
Are we paying him there?
Yeah. So he's just saying we're dedicating our lives to teaching. Not me, I work 60 hours a week, which is evident sometimes in the way that I study for class. Dean dedicates his days, his time, to be in this back room back here and to study so that he can teach us, so that he can counsel us. And what do? We pay him for his time. So I'm not really sure what this class is worth, but you guys need to take up a collection at the end.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, it's pretty predictable. Emily rolls her eyes at my humor, and I completely understand. All right, so let's read on.
Chip.
Go ahead.
Comment. This is during the time of spiritual gifts, and it could be hinting at the person who has the gift of knowledge could impart to the teacher if the teacher is not completely up to
speed. Oh, I never thought about it that way, Bob. That's a good point.
I mean, that's just a possibility. I'm not saying that's what it is.
That's an interesting thought. I'm going to have to look at that. That's a... Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh of corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Keeping in context, what's he talking about? And I'll clarify that comment in a minute. Go ahead.
Well, your good seed is the seed of the Spirit. You want to walk by the Spirit. You want to love. You want good seeds, right? You don't want bad seeds because bad seeds aren't going to grow. And so if you have bad seeds, basically you're living with the flesh. You're living all of those. You're going to get what you reap back. So if you are selfish or if you are envious or if you are doing something that's dividing individuals, think of your own, that those are bad seeds. So you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to get back that not so good stuff. But if you have love and kindness and are patient with people and you perceive that, that's you showing that you have good fruit.
Okay, I think that's a really good point. Early on, what was the topic? Circumcision.
Circumcision.
Okay, and so we spend a lot of verses, a lot of time on circumcision. But also, we know these are Galatians, right? These were Gentiles. What were the Gentiles doing? They were worshiping God through the flesh, right? So I think you can take this verse and you can really apply it. So many people will apply it to the simple things that man does in this world, which, as Kirsten points out, it applies. But it also is talking about, because he's going to bring it back home, he's going to bring up these Judaizing Christians again. But that's something to be mindful of. Wherever we put our focus, whatever I'm sowing, that I'm going to reap. If I plant strawberries and I take care of my strawberry plants, I should probably get some strawberries, right? But I don't plant strawberries and then come out and be all bent out of shape because peaches aren't growing in my strawberry patch. But if I also throw some seeds out in the backyard and then I just ignore them, well, they were strawberry seeds. Shouldn't I have strawberries? I should, but I ignored them. I didn't water them. I didn't make sure they were on good soil. I didn't fertilize them. I didn't do any of those things. Now, all the gardeners are here going, yeah, but strawberries will grow anywhere. Not the point.
That's pretty true.
See? I can see it in Lisa. Go ahead, Carol.
But in verse 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. I think that if you forget that you're doing it for the love of God, then it becomes, okay, I have to do this. Okay, I have to do this. And you get weary doing something instead of following the love of God, which is love, joy, and peace. Then you can get weary doing it. And I think he's cautioning us not to do it because we're doing it. We see that, well, you're supposed to go to services every Sunday. You know, supposed to. And pretty soon you're looking at it not through the eyes of love, but through the eyes of obligation of the law, which is what he's telling them. Do not be under the law. Be under love.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I also will say this. Some people are exhausted. They just are. They're exhausted. There are some people that when you're in a position, like my phone's always on. You can call me anytime. I take medicine to sleep, so some of the conversation might not be cognizant. But there are some people that I've dealt with in the past where there's just always something. It's always something. It's always something. And you have the same conversations and the same conversations. You're doing that because you love that person, but can it become weary? Can doing good make you tired?
Yeah.
It can. But Carol jumped ahead, but I was going to let her because she made a good point. In due time, okay, there is this reward that is coming. It's like planting Christmas trees. You make a lot of money selling Christmas trees. But if you plant Christmas trees this year, you're not going to make a lot of money this year. Faith.
I think in verses 19 through 23 of chapter 5, he's telling you the seeds.
Yes.
Plant in your garden.
100%.
Or not.
Yeah, or not to plant.
Right.
Did you have your hand up, Bob?
Yeah, I have a scripture reading from Job.
Okay.
Chapter 4, verse 8. Job says, according to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it.
Yeah. Isn't it wild that we have to be told that? Like, what does that say about us as human beings? That we have to be told, if you look for trouble, you will find it. Right? If you look for trouble, you will find it. If you dabble, if you're dipping your toe in that little pool of sin, just, oh, what's it feel like? Is the water warm? Is the water cold? Right? There's a pretty good chance you're going to end up in it. But at the very least, your toe's wet. Right? It baffles me that we have to be told those things. But we do have to be reminded. Doing good can be exhausting. But we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the class where we understand that I'm doing this good for my brothers and sisters. I love my brothers and sisters, but guess what? They love me too. And when I get weary, when I get tired, because I get frustrated with people, right? So I can go talk to Eileen because Eileen loves people. And Eileen's going to have a different perspective on dealing with people than I do. So she can build me up. Right? Let's just read the rest of the chapter. First, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Especially those of the household of faith. Be mindful. There's lots of people. Start here. Branch out. Keep in mind your brothers and sisters. Verse 11 said, and I guess this is, I guess Paul right here is trying to really make an impact of how important this message is. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Why would you write that? So I studied it. There's a lot of theories. But Paul did use scribes, or not scribes, whatever you call them.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, to pen some of his letters, and then he would sign them. There, one commentary said that he wrote it in big, bold letters. Like, I don't know. But he's trying to make sure that they understand this message is important. And he goes from there. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. These Jews want to get more and more people to be circumcised so that the non-Jewish Christians don't look at them and want to punish them. They see, well, these Jewish Christians are trying to convert those Christians. Right? But it says, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. That's like the preacher that's just baptizing as many people and putting a notch on his belt each time, but then never following up with them. I've met those people. It's just, look, I've baptized 27 people this week. Well, good for you. What have you done with them after that? But God forbid that I should boast. Paul says that I should boast. The marks on Paul's body were from being beaten and stoned for preaching about Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. So those of you who are circumcised means nothing. Those of you who are not circumcised, in and of itself, means nothing. But a new creation, you have to become something new. Human nature says, people are exhausting, I want to sit on my couch and watch television. I want to go to work, and then when I come home, I want to be left alone. That's my human nature. Well, what do I have to work on? This letter can be viewed as mostly negative, but ultimately, if we look at it, especially here in chapter 6, we can see the positives, the things that I can receive as I give. The thief who gets this, a conversation with the meth head, it will end on this. And he was, one of the things that people on meth do is they steal. They can't help it. They get a high, much like the high they get from meth, from stealing. Doesn't even matter what they steal. That's the focus. That's the, right? But when you can take them out of that lifestyle long enough and get them off those drugs, and then, like the thief, teach them to work. And after you teach them to work, teach them to counsel and teach them to give and teach them to help people, what are they going to find? There's a high in that, isn't there? So Galatians really is a gift. We can see the mistakes, but we can also see the blessings. I appreciate your time, your comments. Fill these things out and then just put them back there on that thing. Whatever that thing is. Lectern, podium, whatever it is. Just don't put your names on them. I don't need your names. I don't care. If you love me, you've already told me that. So... We'll dismiss for a few minutes.